11. Chapter 11, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Ecclesiastes 11. Okay, the Bible says, "Cast thy bread upon the water, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good." This morning we're going to be talking about results. And there's one thing that we can control, and there's a lot of things we cannot control. And there's one thing we cannot control, and that is results. And so those results, we need to leave them in God's hands. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So be seated. We've already prayed. We'll ask God. We've asked God to bless and work in us this morning. I think that talking about results this morning is an important topic because it's often what motivates us to do what we do. And we work hard. We invest. We give our attention and our time two things because we think it'll bring a certain result in our life. And there's forecasts and there's models and there's charts and there's experience. Well, it worked for them. It surely will work for me. We use that in parenting. Well, I mean, we see a parent that has children and they seem somewhat respectful and we think, okay, that's what I want for my kids. What are you doing as a parent? We try to model ourselves after what we see in other people's lives. We see people invest or perhaps they're successful financially and we would say to them, hey, tell me what you're doing. Where are the investments right now? So I can do that and then I can become successful in our finances too. And we do those things because we want a certain kind of results. We see it in other people's lives and we want that in our life. The same is true in our relationship with God. Our relationship with the things that we do for Him. We invest and we give and we work and we serve and we're involved. And as it relates to the things of God, we have certain expectations. So we see, you know, we see other people succeed in what they're ministering and how they're serving. Pastors do this often. They see how other ministries operate and the things that other ministries do. And they think, okay, well, what are you doing so that you can have this success? And I want to do that too so we can have the same kind of success. And we forget this principle that results are not directly related to the work that's being done always. Let me say it this way. The blessings that come from God come from God, and the results that come from the work that we do come from God, and they are related to the work that we do. So let's not try to completely disconnect results from the work. We do the work, but the results are up to God. Here's what I want to say this morning. We do the work, but the results aren't always what we expect. And that's the way we need to understand it this morning. Why? Because we can become discouraged when we have a certain expectation and our expectation isn't met. And we become discouraged, we become upset, we become, critical. of either people or the investments or the time. We get frustrated because we feel like now, because we didn't have the result, what did we feel like we did? We had a waste. I wasted my time, I wasted my energy, I wasted my money because it didn't have the result that I expected. We're thinking about it all wrong, but that's the way we do it often. We hosted a 3-on-3 tournament in Nebraska when I was a pastor there. And we try to become involved in the community. It's a small community, and the community is very important when it's a small town. And so, you know, there would be community events, and we at times would try to connect ourselves to those community events, have our fingerprint in it, or have a float in the parade or something, you know, and just try to be involved. And I remember for the community, we decided, well, let's do a 3-on-3 basketball tournament. And I'd done 3-on-3 basketball tournaments when I was a youth pastor, and it was very successful. And I thought, well, let's do this. Let's have this 3-on-3 tournament. We'll just spread the word to all the town, and there's a lot of kids in town, and they'll surely want to be involved with this because there's so many kids. They would play basketball, and we'd see kids playing basketball all around. We would at times play basketball at the courts in the community with them, and so sports in the small community where we were was a big deal. So we promoted it. We spread the word. We really boosted this thing, and the word, so it wasn't as though people didn't know. I mean, the community knew about this event. And I remember the lead up to it, we had rented out the gym. We had everything lined up. I was going to be a ref, and my assistant, Brother Chad, he was going to be a ref, and we were just going to monitor. It was 3-on-3, so we'd have both sides of the court going, you know. We had a concession stand, and we invested to make sure that the concession stand had plenty of snacks and things for people. We had gift cards for prizes for first and second and third place, and in just all the work that goes into doing an event like this for the community, we did all of it. And I remember when the day of the event happened, one basketball team showed up, just one team, and It was nighing time to start for the tournament, and one team showed up, and my heart started to get heavy and discouraged and down about that event. And I remembered Brother Chad, who he and I were going to be refs. We had to put together a team just so this other team that showed up could have somebody to play. So it was him and me, and I think it was one of my kids or another kid in the youth group who should not be playing basketball. But we needed three, so we needed a human body to stand out there on the court, basically, is what it was. He didn't really do anything, but he was there. And we did not win that basketball tournament, you know. I think we did like triple or quadruple elimination because we wanted to have a chance. We lost every game. After that, we gave the gift cards to the young men, and we cleaned everything up, closed up the gym. And all the time after that, I was thinking, what a waste of time. What a waste of money. What a waste of energy. It felt that way to me. And on all that we put into it, why did I feel that way? And you and I know, when an investment like that happens, there are so many ways that that investment touches the community. Even people who didn't show up were actually touched by the fact that we had an event and we were doing something in the community. I remember people coming to me later on, months and months later, and saying, you know, how did that basketball, people that don't go to our church and really don't know anything about what's happening in our church, they were coming to me and because they knew I was the pastor, and hey, remember that basketball tournament you had? How did that go? And they knew about it. And I said, well, you know, it didn't go like I thought it would go. But the reason why I was discouraged about that event is because it didn't go like I expected it to go. My failed expectation is what made me feel like it was a failure. But see, what brings success or what brings prosperity is not our expectations. It's only one thing, and it's always only one thing. And that is, are we doing what God wants us to do? Now, I want you to think about that question. Are we doing what God wants us to do? Because if that's the case, and we're doing what He wants us to do, then what we can truly do at that point is put the prosperity and the success of whatever we're doing in obedience to God in His hands, and know that whether it's what we expected or not what we expected, did we do what He wanted us to do? And we can say, yes, we did what He wanted us to do. Then we leave the results and we leave the success in His hands. And that's what our text is talking about. Look at verse number 1. It says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. And what this is like, it's doing trading. And what would happen is you would have this harvest of grain, and they would put it in ships, and they would send it across for trade. But the problem that could happen with trading like this is you don't know what would happen with the ship. If it would be taken, or if a storm would hit, and then it would, you know, you would lose, you know, your investment of those crops. And so what he's saying here is put the grain in the ship and cast it upon the bread, the grain, put it in the water and ship it out for the trade. And the last part of the verse, he says, for thou shalt find it after many days. Well, what if there is a problem with that particular shipment? Well, look at verse number 2. He says, give a portion to 7 or also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. So it might be that you send it out and it doesn't bring a return. But what do? You send it out again. And then you send it out again. How many times? 7 or 8. And the implication is, or 9. You just keep sending it out. Because you don't know when the return will be. But here's what you can know. If you keep working, there'll be a return. So you keep working. That's what he's saying. Now look at verse 3. He goes on with this. People who don't get a return on their investment, or things don't turn out like they expected, what do they often do when that happens? If things aren't going like you expected, did you say?
Give up.
You give up. And that's what verse number 3 is talking about. Look at it. It says, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and the tree fall forward toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Now look at verse 4. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. So here's what he's saying. There's conditions in the weather, and the weather can, if it's windy, what people will do is they won't sow because of the wind. Or if it's raining, they won't harvest because of the rain. And the point is this. Because we can't control the conditions of the weather, the farmer who is reluctant to do his responsibility of sowing or reaping, he just will decide, I won't do the work. I'm just not going to do it because, you know, I'm not sure that I'm going to have a return on my work because of the wind or because of the conditions. And what ends up happening is in our life, the same temptation happens to us. So that we have failed expectations, we associate our expectations to our work, and then it causes us, when it doesn't go the way we expected, to reserve ourselves or not to invest like we would have. Or maybe we did before. Well, I'm not going to invest like that before. Well, why not? Because of how it turned out last time. Well, how did it turn out last time? Well, it just didn't go good. It wasn't good. And so because of how it went last time, we decide we're not going to do it the next time. That's the temptation. That's what he's pointing out. Why would we do that? Why would we invest the first time and then not invest the second time? Well, because of the expectation. When I invested the first time, I was excited about it. When I gave myself the first time, when I got involved the first time, when I did what I did the first time, I went over and above. And when I did that, here's what I expected. I expected something to come back, whether we gave financially. What do you mean? You decided to tithe. I'm going to tithe. Or I'm going to give offerings, which aren't the same as tithe. I'm going to give over and above my tithe towards missions or towards, you know, some other thing that God's working on. How about this? I give tithe, but I feel like that's not enough. I'm going to give more than my tithe. And that's okay too. I mean, we give in accord to our love for Him. And we love Him and He works in us. And we give in obedience, but we also give over and above that just because we love Him. And sometimes we give like that and then our finances get difficult. You know, why would we do it the first time? Maybe we were excited, maybe we had a certain motivation, but then things didn't go like we thought they would. And so because of that, we are reserved the next time. I don't think I'm going to do as much. Why? Because of how it turned out. Or a friendship. Relationships can be this way. And we invest ourselves in friendships with people. And what do people do? They hurt us. They fail us. They offend us. You know? We might say something like, so I thought they were my friend. You know, I opened my heart to them. I opened myself up. And then they treated me this way. You know, and so what does that cause us to feel reservation? Or rather, what does it cause us to do next time? To feel that reservation. To not want to invest, to open up our heart. It's just like the sowing. We want to be able to control the conditions. I'll invest as long as I know there'll be a return. I'll invest. I'll open my heart. I'll give as long as I know how it's going to go. Well, okay. We know God's going to bless, but we don't know how and we don't know when.
Right.
And so when it doesn't go like we thought it would go, what'll end up happening is we'll just close ourselves off. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about our expectations related to results. We invest, we give, we open up, we do what we do because we expect a certain result coming back to us. And when that doesn't happen, it can cause us to close up. Let's go on. Verse 5, he says, as thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, the way of the wind here is what he's talking about, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. So what's he saying there? Well, let me read on. He says, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. Amen. So just like we don't know when the wind will blow or won't blow, just like you and I have no idea how God forms a child in the womb. We know he does it, but we don't know how he does it. We also don't know when God's going to bring his blessings, and we don't know when God's going to reserve his blessings. We just don't know. So what do we do with that information? I mean, this is the question that you and I need to deal with this morning. If you are stuck on your expectations for your finances, if you are stuck on your expectations for relationships, if you're stuck on, watch this, I didn't even talk about this one. If you're stuck on your expectations for ministry, by the way, ministry is relationships. We could talk about relationships in this world, relationships with our family, relationships in that manner. But ministry is relationships. And when you open up your heart in ministry, you can become hurt. Like, well, you know, I used to serve and I'm not going to serve anymore. Why? Because I was hurt. Well, that's how the ministry can be. Yep. And if you are stuck on your expectations in these ways, then what'll end up happening is you'll reserve yourself and you won't open your heart to any of these things. You won't invest. What he's saying here is we don't know when the wind will blow or when the wind won't blow. We can't know those things. But what can we know? And how do we respond to this? Verse 6, this is where it all comes together. He says, in the morning, watch this. I'm going to read and then I want you to read with me. Okay? This is so good. He said, in the morning, say those next three words. Sow thy seed. What's that mean? That means in the morning, do the work. Yep. But I don't know how it's going to go. Do it anyway. Amen. That's what he's saying. Right. Go on. And in the evening, withhold not thine hand. Do the work. Well, why? Look what he said next. For thou knowest not whither shall prosper. Either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. So, where does blessings come from? This is not a trick question. It comes from God. And you don't know how God's going to bless, you don't know when God's going to bless. The timing, we leave it in His hands. How He's going to bless, we leave that in His hands. And what we do is we open our heart and we do as he leads us to do. Now, remember what I said in the very beginning. The main thing that we need to be able to say that we're doing is what God wants us to do. Are you doing what he wants you to do? I did. Did it go how you expected? Not always. But did we do what he wanted us to do? Yes. Then we leave the results in his hands. Yeah. It's hard to do that. When I was, you know, at the end of that 3-on-3 basketball tournament, and actually just in the midst of it, I was really discouraged about it. Because my expectations were not met. I expected, you know, multiple basketball teams, and I thought we would have an event and we would reach into the community, and just one team showed up. And we played against that team and everything was fine and there was good attitudes and everything was fine. But it didn't go how I expected. And what that caused me to do is to, you know, sort of reserve myself and not want to be as involved. God says, no. Don't decide to do things or not to do things based on, you know, our expectations or how it went in the past. No. What does God want us to do? And leave the results in his hands. Last week, we started junior church. That was a good day. And we have junior church today. One of the kids said last week, while in junior church, I think talking to Brother Chris, are we going to do this every Sunday? He's like, we're going to do it every Sunday. So excited, you know. Now, when we were preparing for junior church, it's quite a process. You have to put together all the procedures and policies and just make sure that we have everything ready so that when we start junior church, as well as we can, we're planned, we're ready, we've got everything worked through, so we don't have to go backward and, you know, restart or maybe regroup. No. We work through things. Now we're ready. We have the people in place, the servants, the workers, and everything's ready to go. And in my mind, a couple of months before we started junior church, which would have been a couple of months ago, I'm starting to think about junior church. And I'm starting to get myself worked up about it. I mean, excited. Like, oh, we're going to have junior church. And there's a chance we could have 15 kids. And then it just kept going up from there. You know, every week that went by, and every day I'm praying, we could have 20 kids. And then it just goes up. We could have 25 kids. I mean, who knows? I mean, everybody will be excited. The church will be electric, and you won't even be able to contain yourself. It'll be so exciting in here. You know, that's what, I was so worked up about it. And last week came, and there were 12 amazing kids in junior church last week. And it seemed like our services, they weren't as electric as I thought it was going to be. We had great services last week, but I was worked up about it. I mean, I thought we were going to be blowing the doors off. It was a good spirit here last week, but we didn't blow the doors off. And what I'm saying is sometimes we pray, we prepare in obedience to the Lord. We do what he wants us to do. But then we associate our expectations to how God's going to bless what we're doing. And when it doesn't go like we expected, we can become discouraged. Yep. And that's what we have to be careful about. We have to decide that what we're doing is what God wants us to do. And we have to leave our expectations out of it. And let our expectation be the Lord. And understand this. Blessings come from God. And the results come from God. And last week, we had 12. I thought we would have, at some point throughout the weeks, I thought we could have in the 30s. 12 amazing kids, I'll take it. It wasn't in the 30s, but you know what? Prosperity is in God's hands. And the blessings are in God's hands. The results are in God's hands. And so the real question isn't, how many kids did we have? Ooh, get this. The real question isn't how many kids did we have. The real question is this. Did we do what God wanted us to do? And I can say with assurance, yes, we did. Yeah. So what do we do now? Well, it didn't go like we thought. Well, just scrap the whole thing. No. You keep sowing. And you keep going. and you keep reaping that harvest. You keep working and serving and doing what you know God wants you to do. You keep being faithful, but it's not going like I thought. Are you doing what He wants you to do? Are you serving? Are you involved? Are you giving? Are you being what God wants you to be? Then leave the results in His hands and continue to do what He wants you to do. And this can be challenging for us, because, you know, when things don't go like we thought they should go, remember, that's when temptation comes to want to step out and not be faithful and not continue to do what God wants us to do. In Nebraska, we had an open house service. I've talked about it before. We put a flyer on every door in the whole community, and we were going to have this open house. Was like restarting the church. And the church had been there for a long time, but, you know, we were just going to revive and renew and move forward. So it was like an open day, like a first day for the church in that revival. And so we put a flyer on every door. We thought, man, there'll be people there. And we had one family show up on that day. And that was a really tough day. I remembered standing at the glass door, and service time was getting close. And it was, which our services began at 10:45. And it was getting close to 10:45. And we had about three families that had been coming to our church faithfully. And two, Miss Marilyn, who was the one that was there when we came, and another family had joined, and they were the Bryant family. And so the Bryant family had come, our family was there, Miss Marilyn was there, and there was another family there. So there were three families, four counting my family. Maybe 15, 17 or so people there. And we were ready for this day. I had convinced myself we were going to have 100 people. And nobody was coming to the church. And it was getting close to 10:45, which was start time. And I remember when I was standing at the glass door and it started to rain, and I'm just looking out into the parking lot and nobody showed up. And the piano started to play because it was actually time to start church, and I'm still standing by the glass doors. And it was raining outside, and my heart was hurting, and I started to cry. And I was down in that moment. I was down. And I tried to be encouraging because there were people there. And I remember getting behind the pulpit, and we're starting the service, and I saw the Bryant family. They sat over here on the left side from the pulpit, so they're over here. And I remembered the feeling that I was having, but when I looked at the eyes of the Bryant family, husband and wife and their three children, I could see the discouragement that was in their eyes too. And that hurt my heart more than the hurt I was feeling was the hurt that I could see in their eyes. Why? Because I had been excited and thought we would have up to 100 people. Listen, church, we put chairs on the side because we thought we would just have so many. And nobody came until the services began, and then one family came in. One visiting family came in after church had already started. And I was lifted in that moment when that one family came in, but my expectations were really shattered in that moment. And when I got home, I remember praying that night and weeping that night and asking God, why am I even here? Why am I in this town? We put a flyer on every door in the whole town. So there's not one door that didn't get an invitation to that open house service. Not one door. Every door got an invitation. And one family came. And there at the beginning of the service, it looked like nobody was going to come. So I'm praying that night, and I'm talking to God. And I'm like, Lord, why am I here? We gave a flyer to everybody in this entire town, and nobody wants to come to this church. Nobody. So I think maybe you want me to go somewhere else. And while I'm on my knees, the Lord says, no, you stay there. You're right where I want you to be. Why would we not want to be right where God wants us to be? because of our expectations. My expectations caused me to become so discouraged that I didn't want to be where I knew He wanted me to be. What we have to do this morning, church family, is to do the work that God wants us to do and then leave the results in His hands. We have to let Him bring the blessings. We have to let Him be the one who prospers. And we need to be faithful to do the work. Yes. Keep investing. Well, you know, but the return doesn't seem to be there. And the finances don't seem to be getting better. Are you doing what God wants you to do with your finances? Keep doing it. And let God prosper you. You know? And by the way, He does say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But He didn't say when. He does say that He'll take care of you. He's faithful. Well, you know, I get what you're saying, Pastor. I get what you're saying. And, you know, but you don't really realize what they did to me or what they said to me. So I get it. I'm going to invest in all these others, but not in them. You know, we need to open our hearts and let God use us to invest in those relationships. And we need to leave our expectations out of it. Amen. And we need to let God put His hand on it and let Him bring the prosperity in His way and in His time. Amen. So you need to let God deal with that offense that's in your soul right now. Yes. We need to let God give us a humility so that we might forgive, so that we might continue to invest. Let's not make it about us. Let's make it about serving Him and doing in obedience what He wants us to do. I almost said we need to get over it. We do need to get over it, but we can't just get over it. We need God's help to do that. We can only be a forgiving person because we've been forgiven. God, help me to be forgiving. Help me to continue to invest. And then, Lord, but what if they keep doing it? What if they keep, you know, taking advantage of me? What if they keep saying these things? What if they keep being disrespectful? What if they keep, you know, behaving in the way they're behaving? Then you get up in the morning and you continue to sow. And then you leave the results in God's hands. Let Him do His work and let Him do it in His time. Because who knows when the day will come whenever they'll show up at church and God will strike to their soul. Because for 7 years you invested and God was working and you thought, what's the point of this? And God's working in their soul, but you don't see that. You just see the hurt and you see the ignoring of you or the hurtful things they say towards you. But you get up in the morning and you sow and you don't put your expectations to it and you love them anyway and you give to them because you know that's what God wants you to do. And day after day, you continue to be faithful. And then one day, after so time, and God's work in their soul, they show up. Or some event happens and a break happens in their life. A break happens in their soul so that there's a level of humility. And then God does a work and there's a union there, a reunion, a revival, a salvation, or some kind of thing that God does in them and He uses your investment. Because we leave that result in God's hands. It doesn't always happen when we want it to happen or how we want it to happen. But we keep working and leave it to Him. You know. I'm almost done. Somebody comes to my office and they say, well, I'm going to be leaving the church. Like, why? Well, I just, you know, and there's some offense. Well, you're leaving the church because of an offense? You're offended? Yes. Then you're wrong. You are wrong with God. We leave the church because God wants us to do that. I'm not against people leaving and going somewhere else. You be where God wants you to be. But if you're leaving because you're offended, you're wrong. You need to get your heart right. You might not even know how God wants to use that offense that's in your life to do something amazing, but you need to let Him do it in His time. You need to keep working. You need to keep serving. You need to keep investing and giving and being involved. And don't associate your expectations to those relationships or those investments. Let them be in God's hands. Because results are in His hands. We just work and serve and give. And then let Him do what He's going to do. And by the way, He's faithful. He's going to bless you. And by the way, you know who can become some of your best friends? The people you were offended at and almost left the church because of. That's what God can do. We just need to be faithful. Be faithful. God, help me to be patient. We could have talked about patience the whole time here, right? And endure. Help me to have endurance. Help me to put the results in your hands. God, help me to be a faithful worker. Help me to be faithful. Let's read verse 6 again and we'll be done. In the morning, sow thy seed. Let's try it again. In the morning, sow thy seed. That's what God wants us to do. Just keep working and let prosperity come from Him. Father, we love You this morning and we're grateful for the encouragement of this thought, the message. Lord, we so often associate our excitement and our motivations to do what we do to the expectations that we have of the results. And sometimes we invest and the results are there. And we're encouraged, so then we want to do it again. Sometimes they're not there, Lord. And You know all about that. And the real question is not, did it work? That's never the question. The real question is, did we do what You wanted us to do? And God, if we can say we're where You want us to be and we're doing what You want us to do, help us to just be faithful and leave those results in Your hands. Help us to trust that You're doing Your work. We love You, and it's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.